Tom, Dave Tippett says, well, don't read too much into the lines. I'm totally disagreeing with that. I think Slater cuckoo right now playing with Ethan Bear. If they were rotating guys in and out, then I'd be like, okay, well, they don't have an answer. But Cuckoo took every line rush, every situation with Bear, didn't change once. Unless Chris Russell might be the guy, I just don't think they're going to go with Caleb Jones at this point. So to me, it either seems Cuckoo or Russell if he gets the green light. Like tomorrow, I guess, would be the final day to find out. But you know, Cuckoo right now looks to be that guy unless Chris Russell gets the green light.
Right, and that gives us a pretty good indication as to where the coaching staff is at with their blue line. And hey, listen, we knew for Caleb Jones, it's a year of peaks and valleys. You're in your first full National Hockey League season. There's a lot of guys on the blue line waiting to play games. So, you know, the leash isn't the longest, and the patience for guys to develop isn't maybe as robust as it usually is. And so that tells us, and we see this generally, Greg, so, you know, veterans get the benefit of the doubt over young rookies, up-and-coming players, unless those young rookie up-and-coming players are so good that they can't give up the job to anyone else. And that's not the case with Caleb Jones. So you're right. Like, I'm in the same mindset as you. Yeah, we can read a bit into this, absolutely, and we'll know more tomorrow. And then if it changes with Cuckoo, then it means Chris Russell's good to go. And veterans have been around, and Mike Smith said it too, there's no substitute for experience, especially in the Stanley Cup playoffs. And these guys, Russell and Cuckoo, have it, whereas Jones doesn't.
Yeah, I'm with you guys. And I think that it's just he just doesn't trust them enough. And it's not that he doesn't think he's a good player and he can make something happen, but just that level of trust of low event hockey from that third pairing, I think that's what they're looking for. You know, they know they're going to get up to, further up the lineup of that group. They want a low event as possible. Any other little items in the lineup, specifically up front with McLeod and In and Haas out? Anything kind of surprise you or you'd maybe change if you were running the show?
Well, Struddy, I don't think it would be a good scenario, and I'm sure we wouldn't be talking about playoff hockey if I was running this show. Let's just get that out there right away. But Cahoon's still up there with McDavid and Puljujärvi. I think that'll be interesting to see. Could he be a dark horse that could rise to the occasion, or does it fizzle away and his leash is short because he doesn't do much in the 5-on-5 play that he does get out there in the postseason? That's what I'm curious about. And I guess I think the hot topic for a lot of people is where does Zach Cassian factor in? He was skating with the quote-unquote fifth line. The taxi squad guys did not skate with the main group. They showed up later. Maybe we saw Philip Broberg step on the ice in the last 10 minutes when guys were working on individual skills and all that type of thing like they generally do at practice. So I'm curious to see if Cassian's good to go, where they might put him in. But in terms of any real surprises or anything, Struds, not really to this point. You know, once we get into the games and things start to develop, then I think we'll see where we get a good idea of where the coaches are at with the guys in their roster.
Yeah, you know, it's funny. As we're joined by Tom Guzzola for the Guzzola Chronicles. When I look at this whole situation with Cassian, I'm going to assume he's not going to be ready for game one. I don't mind him coming in at some point during this series to add a little zip of energy, right? And maybe a little unpredictability, to the group. And I think you could see, you know, I think, you know, Cahoon's a guy that maybe could be moved around. Shore is probably the first guy. And then depending on how he does, Neil, although I think their line's been pretty good, you know, the last two games. So, you know, that means someone have to flip over to the other side because I have a hard time seeing anyone on that right side coming out, Thomas.
Right, and I kind of think that with Kyler Yamamoto too, like to me it feels like maybe this is a fresh start for him with it being game one of the playoffs, and that could help him get going offensively. He's doing the right things to get to the right areas, create chances and stuff like that. And I'm curious, Struddy and Greggs, if you guys think that maybe this is beneficial, like at some point you can plop Cassian in there And he can go and inject some energy and he'll have all that adrenaline flowing because he, A, has been out for a while, I know, due to injury, but B, will he be the Zach Cassian that stirs things up, lays down big hits, tries to create a ruckus in the offensive zone? Because, quite frankly, for the most part, that's not the Zach Cassian we've seen this season.
No, not enough of it. But you know what? That's the thing. Like, if so, it's kind of a good spot. Like, I think Tippett's in a good spot. If he comes in and he contributes, you're like, okay, man. Like, you know, you're going. If he doesn't, and he's not going, you're saying, well, you know what? You're not quite ready to play yet, right? So, I don't think that if Cassian comes back, you have to keep him in the whole time, you know, because he has this injury issue. Like, I don't think it's a bad situation. You're going to have. So, I think he's a guy that could come in and out. Shore for sure. Kuan for sure. Neil for sure. Chason, I don't know that he's a guy that's coming up, but that's four or five guys. They're kind of fighting for a few spots, right? So that's going to drive them. That's going to push them.
I don't see James Neal coming out of the lineup.
You don't think so?
James Neal has more playoff goals than the whole rest of the order forwards combined. He's consistently, every year he's in the playoffs, he produces. Every year. It's not a guy who just had one or two hot years in the postseason. And James Neal, he's sneaky dirty.
He is competitive.
Right? Like, he's
There's
sneaky,
no doubt.
Dirty.
There's and no doubt.
Unless James Neal gets run down or is injured, the only way he's coming out is if his conditioning still isn't there for, like, game four. That would be the only reason I think he comes out. I just think he adds a dimension that they don't have. He's the most skilled player when it comes to scoring goals in their bottom six by a mile. And that's why I keep him in.
I think if he doesn't, he's got to hang on to the puck as much as possible, right? And if he just gets and throws it away, he's not a real retriever. So he's got to hang on to it, I think. That's something he can
add. Watch them him and Chason and Kara, they crushed Chicago cycling the puck.
Yeah, I agree. Last series, but then the last couple of games. But earlier, he kind of gets in and gets, if he's got to hang on to that.
Well,
he
was just surviving.
Yeah,
honestly,
no,
early in the season, he was just trying to survive because of his conditioning. And the last 3 weeks, I talked to James. He feels like he's like in NHL shape again.
Okay.
Right. And I think, and I, you can attest to that. Like this year, well, I don't even know if any of us, unless you've had COVID, and trust me, we've had lots of people text in who had COVID and they're like, dude, I can't believe they're like, yeah, I try to walk 5K with my kids and I'd be gasping. Like, I just felt run down. So you try to be an NHL player like that. So, and some guys get in, doesn't even impact them. Mm-hmm. Right. So, I think. I look at James Neal and there is no chance he's coming out of the lineup for me. For the guys that you could replace him with, no.
Tommy, you can split the one. Where do you think he is on the list of potential coming out or not?
I like him in there. I'm with Gregor on that. Okay. I like him in there. And with that line, this is what I'm curious. With the Jets not having the biggest, most physical blue line, could that line not tilt the ice in this series overall quite a bit? Grinding down the Jets' smaller defensemen, the Morrisseys, the Pionks. I know Jordy Benn's been playing. I know Logan Stanley's a giant, but he's a third-pairing guy. But I could see them potentially being a huge boon to the Oilers, especially with the tough game and the strong game and laying a licking on those defensemen. If I'm out to lunch, guys, please tell me on that one.
If that line has two goals in four games like they did last year, the Oilers are in a great situation.
Because
the thing about the Oilers this season, their best players are better than they were last year. That's scary to think. The best players weren't the problem. But Darnell Nurse, Connor McDavid, Leon, they're better today in their all-around games. Nurse is better offensively. Mm-hmm. Tristan McDavid more aware defensively than they were. They weren't the problem, but they're simply better. Mm-hmm. So the other guys just need to be okay, right? The other guys and the Oilers, since February 1st, they're fifth best in goals again. They figured out how to almost be, hey, if we have some guys who are just minute eaters, they get on the ice, they don't get scored on, they don't score, who cares? Because the odds are McDavid will eventually outscore the opposition. It's just a fact. Mm-hmm. So if your other guys can do it, it's not a great strategy to win a cup, don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
But to win the first series against Winnipeg, I think you could easily do that. And if all of a sudden that line chips in a goal or two every second game, you're glorious. Like, to me, because I expect more offense from Neil, McLeod, and Chason than I do from Archibald, Kara, and Shore.
Yeah.
Well, I think more ozone time. Don't you think, like, more grinding down low? Like,
sure,
I think that's
more offense.
Yeah, you got to be in the offense zone to do it. But I guess, as we're joined by Tommy Gazzola, like, Gregor's point that the top guys are better. Would you say that the rest of the crew is playing better team hockey now than they were for long stretches last year?
Absolutely. And Struts, it's in the numbers. It's in the goals against that we're seeing. What were they, second for goals against in the division this year? The 5-on-5, I know Gregor's hit on that a bunch of times, and he's pointed to the fact that they're there was a stagnancy among the Oilers in 5-on-5 goals against. And this year it seems to have improved, and we're hearing about McDavid working intricately on his defensive game, and all of a sudden he has this phenomenal offensive season and a shortened season. Like, absolutely, I think this team overall is better. I just want to see how they approach this postseason. Obviously, this scenario is different compared to last year in August and the weirdness that surrounded that, but if they're somewhat leery of what they allowed to happen or what they didn't do last year against Chicago, and if those that were still around from 2017 remember how to create momentum, how to play off of momentum, build it up, and manage swings in the other direction momentum-wise, if that all comes together and this team, for whatever reason or to this point, is somewhat battle-hardened in the postseason, how much it benefits them.
Tom Gazzola joins Sims at Sports Leader TSN 1260. Tommy, the other playoff series, my goodness, Florida-Tampa was just a bloodbath. It was physical. It was to go, you know, like, what was it, 8 minutes of 4-on-4 as guys just couldn't stay out of the penalty box early on. Stretti's new favorite player, the magician man, Kucherov, comes back. Oh. And, hey, I don't blame him for doing it. The rule's there. So, to me, I came up with this one. Well, Frank Cervella, I'll give him credit. He was the first one that got us thinking about it. Then we was crunching all the numbers. Why not just, you could be cap compliant for the playoffs.
Ooh. Oh, that's interesting. Instead of just no holds bar where you could do whatever, play whoever kind of thing.
Yeah. That's a good way to clamp it down. Right? Like, yeah, you can have your taxi squad, and if a guy gets injured, you know, you move guys on or off, that's fine. But, and, you know, you might have to change LTIR, which is normally, you know, 10 games. You know, maybe you drop it down to 3 games or something, right? Whatever it is, put a guy in LTIR. So, to me, if you want to have a playoff LTIR, I'm totally fine. Even though it's just there, just so you don't have teams doing what Tampa Bay does, where they basically got a $98 million roster on the ice in the postseason.
here's the other part of that, though, is I kind of think that using that to their advantage, the way Tampa did this year, was wily and clever. And because it benefited them, and this is a tendency among a lot of scenarios in the NHL. There's once like the collective in the league doesn't like something that another team finds a way to do, there's like a knee-jerk reaction. Now, I don't think there's going to be a knee-jerk reaction here, but to let's say, go and make every team have to be cap compliant in the playoffs, that to me would be a bit of a knee-jerk reaction. So as greasy as that move by Tampa was, and how we could see it coming as soon as we saw the announcement going into the regular season, we're like, how much do you want to bet Kucherov's going to be ready to go for game one? And there he was yesterday, playing well, contributing offensively. At the same time, I look at that and I go, you sneaky buggers, well done. And you did it within the rules. I applaud that to a certain extent.
Yeah, that's the thing. And I, you know, the problem has just been two big players that did it, right? Kane and Kucherov. And it has a big impact. Yeah. Like, if it's a seventh defenseman or, like, you know, a third line left winger, like, you're not, you know, we're not like, oh my God, but these guys have such a big impact with both on the ice and their cap flexibility, right? That it gives the teams when they short out. But maybe it was just in a unique year. One last one for you, Thomas. You know, just getting back to the Oilers, and you know, when the more you look at it and think about it and see the other teams play, do you think the Oilers can get to that level of intensity that we've seen? You know, because we didn't see it last year in the play-in against Chicago, but you know, like, you look at some of those games, like the mini, it was pretty intense. Obviously, the Florida battle, the Washington Capitol. Do the Oilers have the ability to get that quick, that high, or that high that quick, I should say?
I want to say yes, Struts, and watching them at the practice today, lots of jump, lots of tempo, skating fast, shooting hard, just that extra little zip on everything, it seemed like. Now, having said that, they did that last year in training camp going into the bubble, and then they totally laid an egg and were a total dud team in the qualifying round. But I think now, again, with that knowledge, with that experience, with that bad taste left in their mouth, I think they absolutely can. And then the other thing, too, is, like, listening to them on their Zoom calls today, is they watch the playoffs, and guys are talking about the playoffs and seeing the intensity from the other teams across the league yesterday and on Saturday night in that Washington-Boston game. I think maybe that rubs off. And then when it's finally their turn to go, they can just go all out 110 miles an hour all game long and be a part of this great story that is the Stanley Cup playoffs. So, yeah, I think they are capable. They've got the horses to lead them. They've got the horses that can support. And if they don't, then your show, my show, and everything we talk about all summer long is going to be packed full of what plagues this team, and we'll certainly know it. But if that happens, then I think that things are going in the wrong direction. I don't think that's going to happen. I feel like they can get to that point and push themselves strutty, and it's a matter of seeing it right out of the gates in game one on Wednesday.
Well, can't wait till Wednesday. Thankfully, we've got a few more playoff games to watch over the next few nights to get us through. Tommy, have a good one. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Sounds good, boys. See you tomorrow.